Hello, everybody. Come one, come all. Welcome back to the epic return of the Star Wars Report podcast. I am extremely pleased to be with you this morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this delayed podcast. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. So glad that you decided to join us. So let's bring in our regular co-host, starting off with my dear sister, Bethany.
Greetings, one. Greetings, all. I am very happy to be back after a busy summer. We're finally settling back into doing Star Wars Report again.
That's what you're doing. I'm not done yet.
Well, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, busy summer. We'll be talking about it. We have some Star Wars stuff, but a lot of this is actually going to be our time to catch up with a great gentleman who we've now officially met in person, Mr. Mark Herleman. And hey.
Yes. R2 was kind of upset that he wasn't there. You know, he was locked away in the back of the Jeep. Somebody had to keep the electronic systems, you know, safe and secure. But it was a blast, man. I was so stoked to actually get to finally meet, you know, some co-hosts.
Yeah.
And what better than to have an entire podcast come together? I mean, you guys got to meet other people and stuff back Solo Sound at Celebration 5, where I wasn't able to do that. But, you know, it's always cool getting to meet your friends that you've met online and get to meet them in the flesh and kind of just sit down and chill over some Wendy's fries.
Yes, actually, it is.
And that's what we did. For listeners, you guys who don't know, which I know a good number of you may or may not, Bethany and I went to Oregon through Civil Air Patrol. We went to a business academy that's hosted in McMinnville, Oregon, which is just southwest of Portland, not too far of a drive. And
birthplace of your defender of the EU.
McMinnville?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Even more circumstantial, interesting situations. That's awesome. But yeah, we went to Oregon and traversed our way the long 4.5-hour flight out, which is nice going there because the time change makes it only about 1.5-hour flight. Not so much coming back. I'm still recovering from West Coast time, I'll tell you what. But it's a week-long business academy. Got to learn the ins and outs of Evergreen Aviation. Won't bore you guys with all the details other than to say we had a great week. But couldn't resist the opportunity to coordinate. Mark, you had a family vacation right about that time because you're from Southern Oregon. I learned this knowing nothing about Oregon geography because I've been on the East Coast my entire life. Well, on the East Coast or living overseas, one or the other, my entire life. So Oregon's the farthest west I've ever been. But it was. But I'm glad the timing actually worked out perfectly, and we got to meet at PDX, also known as Portland International Airport. And munch on some Wendy's, and it was too short. It was only about 40 minutes, and I felt like we hardly got to know you, because Mark, whenever you mentioned meeting people that you meet for the first time in person, and it's a different level of connection that you can't get on the internet. But it was great to meet you, but I wish we had 2 or 3 hours. I'll tell you what,
that was awesome. Yeah, getting to be able to talk shop, you know. I mean, that was one of the things. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, awestruck of just getting to see my friends. And I'm like sitting there, and my wife's like, "Are you going to take pictures?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let's get some pictures going here." Yes. I totally spaced it at first.
There is indeed photographic proof.
And no Photoshop was required.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I live down in Southern Oregon now, but I was born and bred at the northern end, and that was, you know, that's how it worked out so well for us, because we went up for 4th of July, stopped along the coast and visited my grandparents over there, so they met Jana for the first time. Then we came across the mountains, hit my other grandma up, stayed the night with her, and then in the morning we came and went into Portland and had a bunch of friends that we were able to see. And, you know, we had a brake issue on the way where we had to stop in Mac, actually, on the way to Portland, which almost caused us to be late. We were all panicked. But luckily, you guys' fight was delayed, so that worked out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was like a total moment of panic, though, because we got, you know, come down off of one side of the mountains. My wife was driving, and of course, the brakes started smoking, and I was like, "Well, you were pumping them, right?" And she's like, "Yeah, I don't." Okay. Turns out she wasn't pumping them as often as she thought she was. It's pretty steep mountains and stuff, so she doesn't like to drive mountains, and I let her drive because she wants to get confidence built up, but it wasn't so great on the brakes. But, you know, it's air on the side of safety, so we stopped in and found out everything was fine. Luckily, traffic wasn't too bad, and you guys were there maybe 10 minutes before we got there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's amazing how well it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Timing was phenomenal. And you guys had perfect weather. I mean, that's the amazing thing about that end. The end I'm at is always sunny. I I mean, like, it hardly ever rains. When it does, it comes down cats and buckets. But the northern end rains all the time, and you guys really lucked out to not get bored on.
I'll tell you what, the weather was gorgeous.
Yes, it was.
Temperate, because this summer has been really busy for you guys that don't know. I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but the reason we haven't been doing regular episodes is mainly because, well, we haven't been here all the time. And I just find it, side note, really amazing that usually it takes something like a Star Wars celebration or fan days that we've been to that we meet these people in person, fellow Star Wars friends. And that's where you can really take a connection to the next level, because a virtual relationship or a virtual interaction just isn't the same as in-person interaction. And it's just funny to me that usually we end up traveling to Orlando or to Dallas, Texas for one of these events. But in this case, we just happen to, for absolutely no Star Wars reasons, land in the same state. And I do find that kind of funny. And not just that, but Mark was delayed, but so were we. We actually missed our first flight. And kudos to Delta Airlines.
It wasn't our fault.
Yeah, well, at least that's what I like. We like to think that, Bethany. We like to think that. We'll blame somebody else. But yeah, the Delta people were very nice, put us on the next flight 1 hour later, after a TSA hassle, which I'm sure we will tell the story momentarily. But we actually got on the same flight and ended up getting into the airport within about 10 minutes of each other, like you say, Mark. So that actually worked out really well.
Yep.
Well, yeah, my kids were super excited, too. I mean, they were all like, this is the guys you talk on the Boston one, right? Yep. And the girl's going to be there, too. Taylor's all excited. She's like, yes, there are female podcast hosts, honey. They're not all boys. You could be one, too.
Trying to prove it. And, you know, speaking of meeting other people in person, one fine young woman that we met in person recently, last October, in fact, was Teresa Delgado from fangirlnextdoor.com. And we've had her on the podcast before. She was amazing to talk to, quite frankly, during the Attack of the Clones commentary. I really enjoyed her contributions there, but we've made it official. She is now a contributing writer for the Star Wars Report website, and we're hoping to get a little bit more regular written content back up now that we're more or less back in the swing of things. And so she has an introductory post kind of telling her story on StarWarsReport.com, so you guys should be sure to check that out.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I will add a link to that in the show notes as well.
And if you also have a passion for Star Wars and you think you might have what it takes to be one of our intrepid Boston reporters, be sure to send us an email. You know, we're more than happy to check out what you got, and you never know, you might too find yourself someday reporting.
There you go. There you go. Definitely. Well, let's talk about it, because like I said, this is not going to be a super Star Wars heavy, but I need to tell you guys a yarn a tale. Spin a yarn tale. How does the saying go?
Sure. Spin a tale.
Spin a yarn tale, something like that. Yes, getting out the TSA. Oh my goodness!
Can I tell?
Yes, you may. I will. Just,
yeah. You gotta let Bethany tell. She had the little speeder bike thing, so hers is gonna be a little more action packed. I mean, watching her wheel around, I was jealous.
I will preface Bethany, if you don't mind. I'll just preface your story with your situation before you encounter our great agents in blue. As we like to call them, the TS. One of the activities we did this summer was a basic cadet encampment for CAP cadets, learning the very basics of getting some military discipline, customs and courtesies, that sort of thing. It's kind of like a basic training for cadets. It's done at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, right on the Tennessee border. In fact, part of Fort Campbell's in Tennessee, part of it's in Kentucky. It's a huge army base, and they do a ton of operations out there. But we had a little section of it for the Civil Air Patrol, where we did a week-long encampment, and Bethany was a taco, or a tech officer, as we call them. Was it tender excellence care? No. It's
training and counseling officer.
Training and counseling officer, and by training and counseling officer, Mark, you know something about this, working with kids and Boy Scouts. You can teenagers and youngsters can have a lot of drama.
Yes, and what's great is every one of them. I like, you know, I talk about circles, but so many people have related life experiences, and yet every single one of us are in our own little island, and it always feels like it's only happening to me.
Exactly.
When you're a teenager, it's so much worse.
You think, yeah, exactly. Your world is so small when you're that age, and I can say this because I was that age just 3 or 4 years ago. So I can relate very closely to the experience of when you really think your world very much revolves around you.
Yeah, I mean, you think no one can relate, and it's like, it really, I mean, once you're past that hurdle, looking back, and I'm 30, and I've got the 40 hurdle, you know, I'm just now getting into the 30s, and I'm like, wow, this isn't anything like I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. So, but yeah, to introduce Bethany's story, I promise we'll get to you, Bethany. One of the cadets, how many ambulances were involved throughout that week? What was it, 4, 3?
I don't even remember, honestly.
See, you gotta remember. The last time we did an episode, I was with Nathan Butler recapping something. I don't even remember. I'm so tired. But we had a great episode, and I said, you know, I'd just gotten back from the advanced pararescue training. It's basically special forces training for CAP cadets. We get to work with Air Force Special Forces guys and do a lot of the stuff they do. It's a really tough course, very difficult to graduate. I had to do a lot of preparation and stuff to actually make it and survive. And graduates. Great experience, but that was hard. Basic cadet encampment is basically just for the 13-year-olds who are just learning the basics of it. A lot of Star Wars fans amongst them, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bethany was dealing, had a broken foot from a couple years back doing horse riding that we were doing, and so it's something that she's dealt with on and off. Some major surgery was involved. Won't go into all the details there, but suffice to say, it's still sensitive. It's something that's very, very serious. And Bethany, unfortunately, amidst some very dramatic, might I say melodramatic circumstances involving young teenage girls who think things are way more serious than they actually are.
No offense to young teenage girls, but that does happen sometimes.
Yeah, they can be offended. Anyway, but that being said, twisted the ankle and kind of did a re-injury. Chipped the bone is what Dr. Sumita said?
I chipped the bone, sprained the ankle, and stressed, but did not tear the ACL. So, yeah.
Woo! Woohoo! Yeah. Trifecta!
Exactly. So Bethany, has been until a couple days ago traversing hither and thither on this really cool small foldable scooter that just has a small cushion on it. It basically looks like those scooters that you would play with, and only instead of standing on it, has a raised seat / pad that you can rest your knee on and keep your foot elevated and push with your left foot while your right foot is being elevated with your right knee upon this contraption. And you can go really fast from point A to point B. So when I would be carrying luggage through the airport, Bethany would be half a mile ahead of me, already in the food court, waiting for me to catch up. It's like a skateboard. It's amazing. That being said, try imagine putting this thing through security. It's a huge...
Oh, they hated it.
And so thus began... Adventures with TSA from the Star Wars Report podcast.
Yes. So when we got to the airport... We were running a little sticky on time, and we thought, well, we'll just barely have time to check my bag, and because I had my bag, and we had put some of the heavier things in it, and things that you're not supposed to take through unchecked luggage. So we got there, we told the lady, oh, hey, we need to check this, and she said, go over there and talk to that guy because you guys will only just have time to check it. But that guy was absolutely no help at all and told us to go back to the back of the line. And then when we finally got back to the front of the line, he was like, it's too late to check it now. You'll have to go talk to so-and-so.
Ooh.
And so we talked to so-and-so and they're like, no, we're not going to let you check it right now. So after they really slowed us down there, they said, well, you can try and get it through security, but it's not going to get through security because it's too large. You know, it's too big and is over the weight limit. And you said you had stuff in there that shouldn't go through. What I hadn't mentioned was I had a pair of scissors in there, and I had bottles of – you're not supposed to take bottles with liquid amounts larger than a certain size, and I had bottles with like shampoo and stuff that was too large because I had assumed that they would let us check it. And we got to security. The TSA took one look at my scooter and took an immediate dislike to it. And they were like, okay, well, we'll get you through. And can you walk any? And I said, I can. I'm not really supposed to, because the doctor had told me don't. And so they're like, okay, well, you should walk through the scanner. And I was afraid of missing our flight, so I agreed to do that. Yes.
Just to briefly interject, for our international listeners who live in countries with a sane amount of security instead of an insane amount at airports, basically the TSA will make you go through these huge scanners that are somewhat controversial here, and they basically scan and create a digital print that's basically the shape of your body in an X-ray, and they see if there are any explosives attached to you. Fortunately for Bethany, there weren't. But that being said, you can opt out of these because a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. And it's frankly constitutionally questionable here in the United States as to violating personal liberties of being basically a digital print of your exact body scanned. A lot of people don't mind. So most people just say it's easier, it's faster, that's what I'm going to do. I'm one of the weirdos who doesn't, and so I always opt for what they call the enhanced pat-down. And by the way, they really need to find another name for that. That's really an uncomfortable name for...
Yeah.
Where they have to do a much more thorough search in the place of that. And so I'm one of those weirdos who I do it. I usually don't opt to do it in... I usually don't opt to do it in private. They will actually let you do it in private. But it's the kind of thing that I disagree with, so I figure if I have to do it to travel, I'll at least do it in public because it'll embarrass the poor TSA guy, and at least it should be embarrassing. My philosophy is that something like that should be embarrassing, so at least I'm going to – that's my little political statement, I guess, when I go through. So I'm not alone, but usually only 2 or 3% of people will opt for the enhanced pat-down because it's very uncomfortable and takes longer. And the guy knows me by now because I've flown to so many of these different activities that and they don't know me personally, but they know my type. And the second I say, yep, enhanced pat down, they just wave me over and they have to go through this huge list of things like, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap your arms around, and what you're going to do is have hold your arms out, and I'm going to touch your chest, and I'm going to touch your stomach, and I'm going to do that. And he has to go through this whole thing and describe the thing to me before he does it. But I've done it so many times, I've memorized exactly what he's going to say. So he just says it like an auctioneer. And so then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you take your hat off, and then I'm going to take your shoes off, and then I want to do is pat down the lower legs and the upper legs. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, do you understand? Yes, yes.
He slips something really bad in there. You're like, wait, whoa. What was after grab my belt buckle? What?
So yes. That being said, that kind of gives you a little bit of background and the why behind what we were doing. But yeah. You, Bethany.
So I was a little worried about missing our flight if they held us up in security too long. So I said, okay, I'll walk through the scanner, especially if you guys can help me through it, since they had taken my scooter away, leaving me without any means of transportation because I had no crutches or anything.
Since they disabled you and left you there.
Kind of, yeah. So the TSA lady helped me up to the scanner, which was quite painful because I did have to walk some. And I went through the scanner and I was like, yes, it's over with. And then the lady was like, okay, now it's time for the pat down. And I was like, what? And she said, well, because you have this boot, and it's it's like Darth Vader's boot, actually, with lots of buckles. It's black, it's plastic, it's really hard, and it doesn't move, and it's huge. And so she said, well, because you couldn't take your boot off, we're going to have to run you through the pat down and have you take the boot off and inspect that and inspect your right foot as well. At this point, I just kind of blinked and said, okay.
Really? They said because you wouldn't take it off, they're going to make you take it off?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So I took it off for them, and they inspected it and swabbed it and poked at it, and then they looked at my foot as well, and then they gave it back to me. And then I turned around and was like, so do you guys still have the scooter? The lady went around and started looking for it, and then I spotted it. And there was a TSA guy who was who looked very serious, and he was going over it very carefully. He had gloves on, and he was swabbing it. And so I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm swabbing it for explosives. And I said, okay, sure thing.
Like, please tell me if I'm sitting on explosives, because I want to be the first to know.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we were, after they finally got us through, and I was like, oh man, the plane flight is going to be awful because now my foot is killing me. And so one of the TSA ladies said, well, would you like to have a wheelchair? Because we can take you on a wheelchair to where your flight is. And I, who was very tired and my foot was hurting a lot at the time, said, yes, thank you, I would like that. And I was happy that they offered it to me. And so just so you know, they were all very nice about this. But and this tiny, tiny woman came out to wheel me in the wheelchair out. And I don't know, she looked like an Ewok. It was kind of odd. But she was very nice, and they wheeled us over to our flight, which we missed because we took too long in security.
It was one of those running in slow motion, the doors closing, the plane is pulling out, and we were there about 2 minutes too late.
Yeah.
But we did catch the next flight, and it worked out because we would have been just stuck in the Portland airport waiting for you, Mark. So it all worked out in the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there watching the plane fly off. So this is what it felt like if Indiana Jones missed getting in front of the boulder.
Exactly.
You know, I have to wonder, though. I mean, so you opt out of doing the leg, and for obvious reasons, and then they make you do it. So what if you had broke your neck and you have one of those neck things? You're like, no, I'm not going to do this. Well, because you said you're not going to do it, we're going to go ahead and do it. I mean, yeah, your head might break and you might die, but, you know, we got to be safe here. Wow, the extremes that they go to. I mean, I guess on one side, we should be happy that they're going to such extremes to, in the name of safety as it is. But the other side of it, it's like, that's so Palpatine. Take away my rights in the name of safety.
Yeah. In order to secure... what was it? A secure and safe society.
Airport. Airport.
Airport. That was fun. And was that side note, a couple quick notes.
Oh, I forgot the best part of the story, though. They let my bag through. Scissors and bottles and all. It was too large. I'm pretty sure it was over the weight limit. It had bottles that were too large and liquid in it, and scissors. Sharp metal devices that, if one were an evil bad guy, you could use to stab people.
Yep.
So I didn't say anything because I really was worried about us missing our flight, which we did. But I thought to myself, wow, they are giving me so much grief here. And I just basically smuggled a weapon onto a plane. Unintentionally, of course, but...
Yeah. With their help.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how that bag made it through. I really don't. And that kind of worries me, because, you know, if they're taking people through security, but they let something, I mean, scissors are long. It's not like you're hiding these tiny little metal nail clippers or anything. They're long and metal. You could have some really interesting stuff in the size and shape of scissors that's metal.
Look at those death chopsticks.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know. So that actually did, well, it's funny because the bag made it through with all that stuff in it, but they did all that stuff to me. And that's rather amusing at the same time. It's a lapse in security that's a bit concerning.
Definite head scratcher. You know, I got to say, though, after all the reports that came back from Celebration 5, I was really worried that Riley was going to come out like this just big giant of a guy. You know, everybody's talking about how big Riley was. You know, he's a big, tall guy, man. He's really big. He's not as big as I was looking. He was a little bit, a lot shorter. And I'm getting there, and I'm like, oh, Riley's not taller than me. Right on. I'm the tallest still.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Riley and I are like, wow, Mark is tall.
Yep. Yeah.
You're on big over here like the trees.
Yeah, I loved it. It's interesting because... Yeah. Well, that, I guess that experience is nothing super Star Wars specific. It does kind of have parallels with the prequels and how people, as a society, we decide how far we're willing to go and what we're willing to sacrifice for safety and security. And I just wanted to briefly mention it. Exactly 1 week ago tonight, There's a terrible mass shooting that I'm sure everyone's heard of. And it's really been a shock around the world. And I won't go into details, but it is, these conversations do come up in our society as to, you know, what could have been done different? How do we prevent these things? And what kind of measures are we willing to take to keep something from this like happening? Because, not to get too dark or anything, but I think this week has proven, you know, there is evil out there, and they're just messed up people, and their measures must be taken. But there's always that debate, you know, how far do you go? So while it is kind of humorous at our wonderful government's attempt to keep us safe and let through large bags, you know, it is their job, and you know, I would never want to poke too much fun at, but.
Well, see, the thing is, for me, you're saying how far are we willing to go for security's sake? One of my questions is, if my bag can get through with that stuff, what else could I smuggle onto a plane? So are we really actually being secure?
Mm-hmm. The Jedi have attempted to overthrow the president.
That's the scary thing about it, you know. I mean, it's only as secure as someone's lapse of memory. I mean, I think I checked that bag. I'm pretty sure I did. Maybe. I don't know. Whoa, what's going on to that plane up there? I mean, you know, after September 11th, though, I mean, the crackdown definitely is one of those things where, you know, we can kind of understand where it's coming from. I mean, it's no one's going to be like, no! I mean, granted, I'm sure there are a few, but for the most part, we're like, okay, I understand, you know, go and do your thing, but wow. The thing that really shocks me about your whole experience is that, well, because you opted out, it's like it's an opt-out. Not a, I opted out, now I'm forced to do it.
Well, see, I thought that if I went through the scanner that they would get me through faster, but because I didn't take off my boots to go through the scanner, they had me go through the pat-down anyway.
Hey, everybody, it's Riley from the Star Wars Report. I just wanted to take a brief intermission from our conversation in the episode and thank our sponsor for this episode, Toy Hut. ToyHut.com are continuing to sponsor us, especially through the times where we've not been able to produce regular episodes. So what we want you guys to do is give them a big thank you. Head over to ToyHut.com as Toy Hut with 2 T's and check out all the amazing action figures that they will have over there. Amazing selection of Star Wars collectibles and all kinds of other awesomeness. They'll also be at Star Wars Celebration as fans, as I understand, but we're hoping to meet up with them there, and we've got some interesting things possibly in the works there. So stay tuned for more information as we get it out. And remember, again, that's Toy Hut with 2 T's. Thank them for their sponsorship and continuing support of the Star Wars Report podcast. And now back to the show. Like I say, it's their job. Although, but before we go into our Star Wars news stories, couple quick observations about Oregon. On the plane ride over, actually, and more specifically the plane ride back, I noticed something. That is, pilots love to talk on their radios, on their intercoms to the plane.
They do.
I don't know how.
They're so chatty.
I don't know how much you've flown, Mark, but they love it.
Just a couple times.
It's one of those things where I think the pilot, where what I imagine when I see a TV show or something like that is it's something along the lines of, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for flying Delta Airlines. We will be taking off in about 15 minutes. We hope you have a safe and wonderful flight. Please pay attention to the flight attendant as she gives you your safety information.
Oh, no, you're flying out of Portland, man. You got all those mountains all around you. They're going into tour guide mode, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but mid-flight we're hitting some turbulence. And instead of just being, we're doing a little bit of turbulence, it's more along the lines of, well, we're sitting here on the runway getting ready to take off. There was a bit, as you guys can tell, there's a bit of a delay. We're dealing with a mechanical failure of some type. We've got our engineers working on it right now. Right now, our current theory is that one of the computer systems has malfunctioned. We will be updating you as the process goes. Meanwhile,
meanwhile, talk with your friendly T-1000 over there. Walking by.
I was just thinking to myself, I really don't need to know all this information. I would just rather stay in blissful ignorance. Of all the mechanical errors.
We have a fuel line problem, but don't worry. We got some duct tape on the situation. It's like the Force. It has a light side, dark side, and it will hold your plane together.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have 1 hour and 43 minutes left in the flight to into Atlanta. Engine 3 is down. I repeat, engine 3 is down.
There is a goblin on the wing pulling the wing apart, but don't worry. We're almost on the ground.
We do have buzz droids on top of the plane.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So, but yeah, the pilot, we got back. Another thing is, at the water park at the Aviation Museum in McMinnville, have you been to it, Mark, by any chance?
No, see, that was, I mean, we were hoping to get back there and gonna do that. We ended up hitting the splash one down in Springfield, which was a wave pool. Not as impressive. See, when we drove through there, so much had changed. I mean, the hospital I was born in has been tore down. It's a Walgreens now. That used to be just an air museum. Now we got, what, a plane on the top that's actually part of the water slide going to the park next door. It's got
a movie theater
or an IMAX
too.
Or something like that. Yeah, it's insane. Evergreen
has the biggest IMAX theater on the West Coast, according to their information, anyway.
Oh, wow.
And that's one big IMAX. It's the thing is nearly 80 feet wide.
That and that being said, at the water park, I was noticing it was either young kids and families, but a remarkable amount of hillbillies running around inside this water park.
Absolutely. You know, okay, a little unknown fact about me. That whole end of the state, I come from a line of hillbillies. Now, you will hear people talk about rednecks, and you will hear people talk about hillbillies. Most often, though, they get them wrong. There is such a thing as a redneck hillbilly, and that screws up what people think one and the other are. I am totally hillbilly with a touch of redneck.
Ah, yes, and there is a difference. There is a difference, my friends.
Yeah. I mean, okay, keep in mind, I grew up on a hill with no power, okay? The same hill my grandpa was born on and almost died on. I mean, he died in Portland in the hospital, but, I mean, if they hadn't got him out of there, he would have. He wanted to. He did not want to leave the property. You know, it's one of those things. His dad was a moonshiner. You know, I mean, it's like we're total hillbilly on that side of the family. I mean, we go way back.
Proud Perlman tradition. Exactly. But yeah, and another thing on our way out, I think this is just a indicative of the culture in Oregon. Not to poke too much fun, but there was this restaurant that was housed inside a barn, which is interesting enough in and of itself. However, there's also big letters on the sign that said Tequila Grill. Kids eat free on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's my kind of restaurant on a Tuesday.
Wow.
Head down to the Tequila Grill. All right, that does it. All right, let's get into some actual Star Wars talk.
Well, actually, speaking of Way Out, real quick, I want to throw out there, I'm about to be moving myself. I'm going to be moving up the studio. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
We're really excited. We finally found a place. It's a place that's got one set of rooms on one side and another set on the other, and we're going to be splitting it with a friends of ours. And it's really cool because it's got its own little studio in the back, separate of it. And my buddy that we're moving in with, he's my computer guru. He's already wanting to call it the server room. I'm like, dude, it's Echo Base, man. Like, it's already been named because I'm moving the studio. All right, that's how it rolls. All right, okay. We can call it the server room, put the servers in there all we want. That's great. Which is the other great thing. My audio quality should go up. He's got a business line internet. He does some serious computer stuff, and so I should be getting the old dinosaur back and running. A lot of good things I hope to have going for me here in the future. I'm so inept when it comes to my technology. I just watch it fall apart and it sits on the side until I can get it to my friend, and then he fixes it up for me. And then tells me about what it's broken. I'm like, dude, what? What? The rubber band attaches to the fan that goes around the one-y thingy? Okay. Yeah. and that makes it work all the time or only on Tuesdays? But yeah, so we'll be moving at the beginning of next month. And, you know, I may or may not be able to hit a couple of the episodes in that month. It all depends on how things are moving.
Now, what month now? I didn't quite catch it.
All August. It's in a couple days we're going to start. We're in the process of packing things up now. I'm the reluctant one. My studio, I haven't packed it up yet. It's still sitting here. I may broadcast out of here for a couple days still. I'm going to leave all that stuff to the last. I figured I wanted to get some pictures of it while the room was all cleared out, and I could actually stand from the backside and not have a bed in the way.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's awesome.
Exciting.
You and your family have been looking for something for a long time, so that's great. I'm very glad to hear that. because it's always nice to have a place to call your home, especially with the kids. I bet they're pretty excited about it.
Oh yeah, they're super excited, and as it works out, they should each have their own room again, and they're really, really happy to actually have their bunk beds still, but each have their own again, because when we moved out of our big house, they each had their own bunk bed so they could have a friend stay over and all that, and then where we're at now, they've had to share a room, and you know, fighting over who gets the top bunk and who gets the fort down below and all that fun that goes with it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, at one point, growing up with my 5 siblings, I'm the youngest of the 6 of us. I remember 4 of us in a adjacent garage that had been closed and converted into a laundry room and bedroom, and there were 4 of us in there, 2 bunk beds. So I definitely can kind of sympathize. Those were the days, I'll tell you what. That was crazy.
The summers were hot, right?
Oh yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. That was before I'd heard of Star Wars, really, for that, believe it or not. So you have.
But speaking of Star Wars, I mean, man, you're just full of rolling with me here. You're just like setting me up. I'll knock them down. I recently managed to get on the list.
The list.
The list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here and I've got the Lost Tribe of the Sith collection by John Jackson Miller. I have to admit, okay. The first 8 books, I believe it's 8, could be 7, they came out, they were free. The last one, it wraps it all together. But as a collection of stories, I am really, really digging the reread. I'm rereading the first ones. I have them all on my computer. I've read most of them. I think the last one I held off on, I'll wait on that one until the book comes out. But I'm rereading. I've just finished the first book of, you know, the series here in it. And oh, man, after other books I've read and stuff from Cross Current, you know, there's a little bit of tie-in to there and stuff that now I have more information than I had when I go back on the reread. That's always fun when you're reading any kind of EU book and you've got these little informations from other books that add to it and vice versa. You know, you can read Cross Current, and if you've read this, you know a little bit more about what happens to Harbinger in that story. And I'm just really enjoying the entire collection like as its own history. You know, I mean, if you've read Fate of the Jedi, you know the Lost Tribe of the Sith is going to show up, but you don't know exactly how their society was formed. And from the first book, it's really John Jackson Miller does a job of putting it all out there. And then I went to my mailbox today and I opened it up and there is a copy of Mercy Kill. And I thought I missed that one. Everybody was talking about how they'd already gotten it. And I figured, okay, I'm getting the other one. I'll jump on there. I am super excited. I'm like, now I've got this burning itch to burn through the other one. I don't want to miss any of the good excitement that I'm having in that book, but I really want to get into Rey Squadron. I have been itching to get into an X-Wing book for the longest time. I love the first series, you know, the first 9 or so. This one kind of ties in and plus ties into Fate of the Jedi. The one thing I noticed, though, right off the top is that the cover of this, it's a hardcover, it's not all black. It's black at the end of the binding. The writing's a little different than normal, but the rest of it is like a steel gray. And I'm always, with hardcovers, I'm always paying attention when they got something new like that. Death Troopers, it had the actual image of the cover. The cover sleeve, the dust sleeve was actually the cover itself. You know, little things like that. We had another one where the printing was different. You know, little things like that. And I'm always curious when they do that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, that's a little different. They changed the backing on that. Ah, I like it. And yet they kept the back black. So if you are one of those like me, the opposite of me, I'm the paperback, you know, I love all paperbacks. If you're one of those that like the hardcovers, you'll be happy to note that the actual hardcover itself is black. So when it's on your bookshelf, it'll still match.
All right. There you go. That's awesome.
That's really cool. So have you been able to read much of it yet?
Not Mercy Kill. I'm still, like I said, I'm in the other one. I want to get that one finished off, and then Nathan got an episode that we got planned. Hopefully it'll tie into the one that we just finished. We just got done doing Dawn of the Jedi and a bunch of that stuff, but we just finished up Cross Current Riptide, so hopefully I'll have it all done, and we'll get that done next, which will be mid-August. We're trying to get a bunch of them recorded, so that way my moving won't interfere with the releasing of the episode. So far it's working out pretty well. We're pretty excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's really cool. And like I say, I think good times are ahead of you, Mark. That's a great step, I think, for your family. So that'll be nice.
Yes, it is. I have the unfortunate habit when I get a lot of books that excite me, I start them all, and then I have this stack of books next to my bed. That's like, oh, which one do I read now?
That's where I'm at. I almost feel obligated to read the newest ones first, but I'm like, okay, now I've got two of them now from Delrin. It's like, okay, I got to read that one first because I got it first, and I'm now going to get to that one. But I've got the paperback of Choices of One sitting here waiting for me to read it, and it's just tantalizing me like nobody's business. And keep in mind, I bought that on Kindle, and now I've got the paperback sitting here. I'm like, I shouldn't have got it on Kindle, but oh well. Did it anyway. And then I've got Gambit Siege. I still haven't read that from when it came out because that was the first book that I was like, oh, and I let it slide. I'm like, Revan's going to be coming out here in a minute. I'm like, oh, man.
Wait,
oh, man.
There's a book that I've read that Mark hasn't?
I know, right?
Oh, my goodness.
It's the end of the EU as we know it. It's imploding.
Yep. It's the end of the world as we know it. I pulled the quote because I wanted to from our earlier conversation. when he says, and the Jedi Rebellion has been foiled. The remaining Jedi will be hunted down and defeated. It's interesting. I'm going to skip towards the end. But the final quote is, in order to ensure our security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire. And of course, for a safe and secure, I have to have the emphasis right there, society. Oh my goodness, Ian McDiarmid. All right, I'm stopping the podcast and I'm going to watch episode 3 now.
I'm sorry. No, he was right, though. I mean, you were safe and secure as long as you 100% gave everything, life, limb, and family to the Empire. I mean, yeah. If you didn't do that, well, then obviously you were a terrorist!
Well, you still hear people make the argument, even today, about especially the defenders of the clones and the Karen Travis kind of area, but where they talk about how the Empire really wasn't as bad as the Rebellion, and if you look at it from a certain perspective, a certain point of view, if you will, see what I did there?
Yeah.
You could see where the Empire would have more order and less death or disease or failure, but you sacrifice freedom, which is one of humanity's.
And you also have propaganda too.
If I might add, when you crush someone's hopes and dreams, or you take away their freedom, typically they will retaliate in some form. So if you take that form of government in the name of having more safety and security and peace, you have to know that people will react to that. And as such, in the end, you will have less safety, security, and peace.
You know, that's one of the things that between episode 3 and 4... And maybe not even the EU needs to do this. Maybe George Lucas's Clone Wars needs to do it. But it's nice to see Palpatine work the scenarios so it makes sense to the general public as to why he's cracking down on things. I think it was the Rise of Darth Vader. In that one, it was set right after episode 3. And we see a mass enslavement of the Wookiees. But the way it fit into the story, it kind of made sense. It was like there was a Republic or the uprising going on. Invader showed up and quashed it and put all those that were behind, behind it. They all got rounded up and they went to work on the Death Star. But I'd like to see more stories like that where Palpatine convinces the galaxy that this is not only good for you, but it's right and it's okay. You know, because that was like one of the big bads about Palpatine is that he could convince you that hosing yourself over so badly was a good thing. And so many people did it. Now, I think where you were talking about Karen Travis, people that like her stuff, that was one of the things I found refreshing was because so many people bought Palpatine's line, hook, line, and sinker, that it was kind of like you needed to have that point of view of how these Jedi, these superheroes of the Star Wars universe could be seen as villains. I mean, you know, I think about how Marvel does that so often with their story arcs of how the Avengers are bad now or the public doesn't trust the Avengers and the way that they play it up. And I can see that same type of story playing out in the Empire in the episodes or the time frame between 3 and 4. There's so much of that going on, that dark time, and it all sets up. But like you said, from that certain point of view, you know, and I believe it's in Agent of the Empire even, we see another point of view in that regard. Johann Cross is one of those that sees the Empire as good and the Rebellion and all the Separatists and all that is so evil. And I love the fact that we do get stories in the EU that give both sides in that. It definitely keeps things shaken up. I mean, because you think about it, if all the Stormtroopers were always portrayed as bad, why would anybody want to be in the 501st unless you want to just be bad? I mean, you got to have some heroes out there. And you can't all be Luke Skywalker underneath that armor. Well, maybe we can.
Yeah. I'm actually going to pull a quote straight from the Holonet News episodes that they put on StarWars.com around the time of Revenge of the Sith, and this is written by Dan Wallace. Good old EU author, but that the quote there says that is a little bit more detailed than the Revenge of the Sith film, which just kind of has an excerpt. But right at the end it says, "The new order of peace has triumphed over the shadowy secrecy of shameful magicians. The direction of our course is clear. I will lead the Empire to glories beyond imagining. We have been tested, but we have emerged stronger. We move forward as one people. The Imperial citizens of the First Galactic Empire. We will prevail. 10,000 years of peace begins today."
Oh, how wrong you were.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was probably one of the most powerful scenes in all six Star Wars films. One of my favorites, especially because of the way it plays. And so this is how Liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
You know, I love that line, and I think on the sexism episode that we did on Beyond the Films, I had mentioned the same thing. Them cutting Padme's scenes out of episode 3 was so tragic in and of itself for that character. I mean, that character's death could have been so much more profound if you knew how much of the rebellion was hinging on her as well, and how much she had a hand in founding it, and how conflicted she was about it all. And how, because of that scenario, it put into Anakin's mind not only a doubt in her, but also a doubt in Obi-Wan. And when Obi-Wan shows up on her ship, the betrayal, because at this point, in one of the scenes, there was like, he shows up and Obi-Wan had touched something on a table, and Anakin goes there and he senses that Obi-Wan was there. And she can't quite tell him because no one wants her to because of his position with Palpatine. And I mean, that's one of the things why I love the book so much, is that that whole plot line, the delegation of the 2000 and all that, was really fleshed out more. And man, the fact that that got cut, it just drives me nuts. Yeah. It's like, George, you know, look what we did with Lord of the Rings. The people would have said, you could have given us episode 3 and made it 8 hours long. People might have flicked you some junk, but nowhere near the junk you got when you did Jar Jar Binks or something like that. I mean, we'd have accepted it and been happy. There'd have been a small contingent that would have been upset, but man, it's like,
even
why did
now, the Dark Knight Rises was a 2-hour and 45-minute film, and add 15 minutes of trailers to that, and you're sitting in the theater for 3 hours. People were happy to do that.
Yeah.
And the Hobbit film is a duology currently, but there are a lot of rumors going around that it might be turned into a trilogy or another film added to that. Has not denied it either. He said that it's a possibility. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you make things and the fans like them, don't drag them out. But if you have good material, run with it.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned The Hobbit. And I just want real quick. I went and saw Amazing Spider-Man and saw on the big screen the trailer for The Hobbit. I mean, I've seen this trailer 108 times. But not on the big screen. Oh, me and my son went and saw Amazing Spider-Man, the two of us alone. And I mean, as soon as it started, I'm like, this, because we were talking about it the other day. And I'm like, this is the movie you wanted to talk about, the Hobbit. Because I've read him the book. He knows about that one. He's watched the Lord of the Ring movies. He likes them. He just got back into watching them again. So man, when we saw that, and I was like, we had just watched the first one, and then we just got done doing a trilogy of them, you know, back to back each night. And when they go down into Moria, and Gimli goes and he sees his uncle Balin in his, where he was dead. We thought it was the trailer where it said all their names. I'm gonna watch. You're gonna see his name. They didn't, but I was able to point him out anyway. But oh man, the fact that my son is going to get to see these on the big screen.
Oh yeah,
is just like watching Star Wars in 3D. I mean, it's just as exciting. And again, it gets back to that you know, Lord of the Rings was able to put out a 4-hour-long movie, and people were just like, yes, oh, this is the best ever.
I think
even look at the Avengers franchise. There are six 2-hour movies in that franchise now, and there are, three more coming out that are confirmed? Iron Man 3, Captain America.
Iron Man 3, Thor, Captain America. Well, and we know there's going to be another Avengers, but they haven't confirmed that.
Oh, okay, so that's just strong rumor right now.
I mean, it's almost idiotic to say it's not confirmed. I mean, it's like,
well, really,
wouldn't do it, but yeah, it's one of those things you don't want to say it and then have it bite you back in the end. I mean, you know, look at what happened to Invasion.
Sure. Well, and I think we're entering a different, not a renaissance, but a changing. Is it whenever the economy's down, that's often when the movie industry thrives, because that's when it's a cheap form of entertainment. That's
ooh,
not as expensive.
Cheap. Where are you going to movies at?
Well, no, I say this comparatively. The prices are still have still been jacked up, but compared to what you had to do, take going on a vacation or going to a family park, it's cheaper than that. So I think it's becomes people's more go-to place to get away from the house, but not have to spend, you know, $200 on a weekend trip.
Yeah,
but I think we're changing.
Well, actually, I think cinema itself is changing. And part of that is because of the, for lack of a better term, the geek culture. If you look at the Superman franchise, you have 10 seasons of Smallville. You have the Superman movies. You have the old Superman movie. And now you have the movie Man of Steel coming out next year, which the teaser trailer was at the beginning of The Dark Knight Rises, or at least where Riley and I saw it. And that is a lot of material to focus on a character in his universe and his friends.
Yep.
You know, they say geek is chic right now, and it's definitely one of those things. San Diego Comic-Con, they mentioned, you know, what's the difference between geek versus nerd? And a lot of the comments were coming back were surprisingly kind of how I view it. Like, people tell me I'm a nerd. I'm like, dude, no, I'm not smart enough to be a nerd. I mean, I wish I was that smart. No, I'm just geek. You know, I just like everything that's cool, hip, and happening now, and I have this motto: if it's cool and I like it, I get it. And apparently, I like geek stuff because everybody tells me I'm a geek. The things I say, I'm a geek. You know, I've accepted it. I am the Uber geek. You know, you run with these things. But nerd, I haven't been called really a nerd. I mean, some people will call it to me, but they're the type that they really aren't getting the concept of the nerd. My friend that I'm going to be moving in with, he's more of a nerd. He tends to swing geek because he still likes all the geeky things, but he gets into the technical side of things and he geeks out on that. And there's, and that's one of those things. It's like, you can geek out on anything and still be a nerd, and you can be a nerd and, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's funny. When we watched the video, it was like they were just throwing these things out, and people were like, I'm not even prepared for this. It really, I just want your opinion. It's not that hard. Don't you have one?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned changing cinema, Bethany, and I couldn't agree with you more. But I think it's not just the geek thing, but the way the general public is viewing films. We're getting those longer form films, and like I said, in the Dark Knight Rises, by the way, incredible film, best of the trilogy in my opinion. I really, really enjoyed that movie. But like Bethany said, you're in the theater for 3 hours, and the Hobbit movies, I guarantee you, are going to be really long. Spider-Man movie was nothing to sneeze at. It was about 2.5 hours.
Real good movie. Oh,
it felt like
wow.
It was shorter.
Yeah, but it kind of. Bethany and I, growing up, would watch a lot of old films that our families that our family taped. So we have this huge collection of VHS tapes that we would tape off TV at our grandmother's house when we lived overseas. She would tape some of these movies, that kind of thing. And it kind of takes me back to the old days of the movies like Ben-Hur and The Robe and that era of, you know, 4-hour films that would have an intermission. I would love to see the idea of an intermission come back into popularity, because I like the idea of having some time to reset, talk about the film as it's happened so far with your buddies, go grab a restroom break, a snack. And I mean, there's nothing to lose it. People are already halfway through the movie. They've already paid their ticket. The only thing they're going to do is go down and buy more popcorn from more of your overpriced popcorn. so I would love to see it. And there are some, no big chains are doing this, but there are some indie movie houses that are showing films. There's one in Austin, Texas that Teresa's familiar with, the Alamo Draft House. And they actually serve you food. And I like that idea. I love that. Kind of a medieval time style thing where just have a theater.
When we were on our way to Portland to see you at the airport, I looked over and even got a picture of it. And I was showing my brother-in-law this the other day, and he's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Yeah, you haven't seen one of these in so long, you don't even remember what it is. That's an entrance to a drive-in, my friend. There's actually one still in Oregon." And it's one of those things, like, I loved going to the drive-in as a kid, and I think about, you know, the rainy days where you get stuck and it starts raining, and you're just like, oh, man, it was still cool, but you had the windshield wipers going. Why don't they make indoor-outdoor drive-ins, you know, like a covered drive-in where you can go and park, and they have some seating area if you wanted to go and sit down like the movie theater, have a little play structure for the kids to run around? That was such a great experience as a kid growing up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that kind of bugs me a little about movie theaters is that they don't want you to take in your own food, which I get because they want to get the money from their, as Riley put it, overpriced popcorn and other things. But
Yeah.
I often don't like the snacks that they have in the movie theater. Their
Yeah, they're
popcorn
terrible.
is usually okay, but the rest of the snacks, like, ugh.
I
And
want
I
popcorn,
am
then
a
there's the
chocolate-loving
Pepsi and
girl.
Coke action. I mean, if Coke's there, well, they can't have Pepsi. And if you're a Pepsi drinker, well, shoot, you got to stick with Dr. Pepper because that's the closest. Because if you go with Coke, it's going to give you gut rot. And, oh, yeah.
It sounds like personal experience, Mark. Just slightly. But yeah, and then they give you this bucket of soda, and this is the health part of me, this bucket of soda and huge bucket of popcorn or candy bars. Do they serve real food, like delicious real food, for lack of a better term? I don't know.
No, they con you. Here, you can get this nachos and a soda. It's $12, but the nacho looks like one you can get at 7-Eleven for $2.
Oh, exactly. It's terrible. I'll tell you, wow. Time has gotten away from us. We're gonna wrap this episode of the show up. But
Having too much fun.
yeah, we are having too much fun. We didn't get to the news. That's a first. We have
You're gonna have to
Wait,
catch our next episode to
news?
find out what happened.
We've nearly talked an entire episode and
We
almost
like each
an
other
entire
too much. We've become too chatty.
hour. I know. What has happened since we met in person? This is just, we promise we'll get to a little bit more Star Wars specific thought. But hey, we got into philosophical discussion on how society views security and what steps need to be taken, and it is has been a very serious week, and truly our thoughts and prayers go out to the good people of Aurora and the families that were so dreadfully affected last Thursday night during the Theater 9 shooting. It's just terrible stuff, and it takes you back to people at that movie theater were just there with their friends and family to have a little escape. Movies and subsequently Star Wars is just a way for us to connect and bond and kind of take us away from our daily routine, our daily lives, and step into a fantastic world. And it's a hard and a dose of the reality of evil that hits us occasionally. And I think it's certainly something that I can't even imagine what it would be like going through something like that. So definitely, once again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Aurora.
Yeah, and hats off to Christian Bale for going and visiting the survivors and the victims of all that.
Yes, and that's the
That's
thing.
a testament to your character, sir.
Yes, and that's where people's you see the worst side of humanity, but it's in these moments that we also see the best side, and this just the stories of the survivors and people who jumped on top of strangers to cover them and shield them from the bullets. It's just some amazing, incredible stories. And if you guys don't follow, I know there's some people or maybe international listeners who you guys don't follow that kind of story, but it's worth it in some ways just to see the
Actually,
side and restore your faith in humanity, so to speak.
that story was pretty internationally publicized.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was pretty
Yeah,
big.
it's pretty. Yeah, it's certainly it's terrible, and these kinds of things. People always say this is happening more and more. What about the good old days? And the reality is, crazy people, insane people, evil people have existed throughout human history. But yeah, it's unfortunate. But again, thoughts and prayers are with the good people of Aurora, Colorado. And on that note, I'd like to wrap up this episode. Thank you guys for listening very much to episode 50. We kind of glossed over it. Episode 50, half
Whoa!
100 of the Star Wars Report podcast. That's reasonably awesome. I will dare say. I'm very glad we've made it this far. Here's to the next 50. And I have one more summer activity, guys. Cadet Officer School at Maxwell Air Force Base. I leave this coming Tuesday. We're recording this on a Thursday night. And I'll be gone for about 10 days, but we're pre-recording some episodes, and you guys will have some regular content. So, for all intents and purposes, we're back in black, so to speak, is the Star Wars Report, and we'll be talking about in the next episode some celebration news, Clone Wars Season 5 news, some really cool plans that we've got going for you there. And I will see you guys on the other side as my summer finally wraps up. And we get back into the swing of normal life, so to speak. So thanks again for listening. Once again, check out everything that we've ever done over at StarWarsReport.com. and that's where you'll find the links to all of our social media. If you want to email us any commentary, your thoughts on what we've been talking about, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Star Wars Report. And without further ado, thanks for listening to this episode. Episode 50 is in the can. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.